I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says there that if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And we've said that there were a third part of those angels that God had created followed Satan. Revelation chapter 12 verses 3 and 4 says this, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, of course, we see prophecy involved in these verses, the prophecy that already had taken place. The devil had taken those angels that God had created, one third of them, and through subtlety and misleading, he had those angels to follow him. And then we see that the dragon stood before the woman. I believe this, of course, is speaking of Israel and Mary, of course. She was ready to bring forth her child to be delivered. And the devil was there. He was waiting to kill Jesus Christ when he was born. And we know how the account goes in the Word of God, how that Herod tried to kill Christ, how he sent out a decree to kill all those babies that had been born in a certain period of time. And we know that failed because Jesus Christ did live. He grew, and the Bible teaches us that some 33 and a half years later after his birth, he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for all of those who would believe in him and ask him to come into their hearts. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15 talks about Lucifer. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And of course, as we read those verses, we understand that Satan tried to exalt himself above God. He wanted to be better than God. But the Bible teaches us that there is no one, no living person, no living being, nothing that was created by God. Nothing could be greater than God. Nothing could be further from the truth. But Satan was lifted up with pride, and he thought he was going to be better than God. And of course, the result in the future will be, it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." The devil's days are numbered, and very soon he will be brought down to the pit. He will be in hell, in the lake of fire. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it continues on with the thought. Remember, the angels kept not their first estate. They followed Satan, those one-third of the angels. And verse 5 says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." In these verses, we're seeing how that God cannot stand sin, that sin has to be paid for. And he always has a people who will proclaim righteousness. He'll always have someone that will talk about the Lord. And it says here that there was a preacher. His name was Noah. And it says that he's bringing in righteousness and also bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. His preaching told these people, Noah's preaching told the people that judgment was coming, but they didn't believe. There were eight people saved. And notice the example of the flood in that verse, verse 5. The ancient world was destroyed because of what? Ungodliness. And how close are we in this country of being destroyed because of ungodliness? Everywhere you look, it's just ungodly. The Bible's taken out of the schools, and the Bible's taken out of many churches. So many people do not carry a Bible to church anymore. They have a perversion that's put up on a screen so that people can see something that they really don't know if it's the Bible or not. They're just taking a man's word for it that it's the Word of God. And many times it's a perverse version or commentary of the Word of God. God's Word stands sure and strong. And I would remind you that when you go to church, you need to take your Bible. You need to check up on the preacher. You need to check up on the preacher. I don't care how well you know a preacher or the man of God, the teacher, or whoever it is. You need to have your Bible open and follow along and make sure that that person is using the Word of God. And I encourage you to do that on this program as well. And as you're listening, as you're reading along, make sure that this preacher is preaching the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example or an example unto those that after should live ungodly." You're seeing once again, you're seeing judgment, and you're seeing something that's taking place here. You're seeing the righteousness of God. And look at the example of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 6 there. Burned to ashes, it says. Bodies of ungodly people of Sodom and Gomorrah burned up. And we see that there's a warning there to ungodly teachers. Let's read it again. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." That's teaching us that we are to live godly lives. And especially we need to understand that the Word of God is speaking to unsaved people that they need to get things right with God. It's also speaking to the saved people that they need to live godly lives. The Bible tells us that we're to come out from among this world, the world's ungodly, and we are to let people know that we are saved by the lives we live. Now notice in verses 7 through 9, "And deliver just Lot." Now it's carrying on the idea here of Sodom and Gomorrah. "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." That's not talking about it. Lot was the only one who got out of that area. It's saying that Lot was a just man. I don't care how ungodly we think he was, and of course he didn't have much of a testimony there in Sodom and Gomorrah, but it says there he got delivered. He was just. He was a just man. That means he was a saved man. He wasn't, we'll say, living for the Lord as he should have been, but he was a saved man. And it says he was vexed with a filthy conversation or behavior of the wicked. He let the world control him instead of him trying to let the Lord work through him to control the world. It says he was vexed with a filthy conversation, the behavior of the wicked. "For that righteous man dwelling among them," see, it says that he was righteous, "dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul," there's the word righteous again, "from day to day with their unlawful deeds." When a Christian does something wrong, the Holy Spirit of God will convict him of something that is wrong. If he's doing something wrong, if he's not living for the Lord, he's going to be convicted in his heart, in his soul, in his being. If you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're living in sin, you're not serving God, you're living an ungodly life and you claim to be saved, you better check up. You better make sure. You better ask Jesus Christ to make sure. Ask him, "Lord, show me. Help me, Lord." And I believe with all of my heart that just as Lot was vexed daily because of his behavior as a saved person, he was acting ungodly. God convicted his heart. He knew that he was saved. He knew he was righteous, but yet he was not doing the things of God. He was convicted in his heart. The Holy Spirit of God will convict those today who are not living for him, who name him as their Savior. Verse 9 says this, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." There is your godly once again, And there's your unsaved people. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. If we're tempted, we need to ask God to help us through those temptations. He knows how to deliver us. He will deliver us if we call out to Him. But He also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. There's coming a day when the ungodly will be punished. They will be judged. And they're going to end up in the lake of fire with the devil. And don't think for one moment that God has created the lake of fire or hell for human beings. He did not create hell or the lake of fire for human beings. He created the lake of fire for the devil. But it's sad that people will end up in hell, in the lake of fire. Remember, God didn't create it for human beings. He created it for the devil. But human beings who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Savior will end up there in the lake of fire because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't ever get the idea that God is sending anybody to hell. The person who goes to hell is that person who refuses to listen to God to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, notice with me verses 7 and 8. God will deliver the godly and punish the unjust, according to verses 7 through 9. We've talked about that. Lot was oppressed by living in Sodom, and he was seeing and hearing the filthy conversation or the conduct of the wicked, and we might say that more or less it was rubbing off on him. And two things the Lord knows, according to verse 9. He knows how to make a way of escape from temptation for the godly. And He also is showing us here how to postpone punishment until the time of judgment in verse 9 there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The saved person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what they've done on this earth. But the ungodly will appear at the white throne judgment, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 12. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And verse 15 of chapter 20 says this of Revelation, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you're not into the book, in the book of life, if your name is not written there, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you are going to stand at the white throne and God's going to pronounce judgment upon you, and you will be cast into the lake of fire because you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior. Call on Him today while there's still time. Ask Him, "Lord, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Please save me so I can serve You here and be with You forever."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.